One of the things that I rescued or treasured were her cookbooks. And some of these go back a long ways. And they have handwritten notes in them. And it's almost like reading a diary. I don't really use the cookbooks to cook out of. If cook's in here, what do? You Google, oh, broccoli cheese casserole, you know, white chili chicken. Okay, there you go. But sometimes I get the cookbooks out, and I just like to sit and kind of read them. And I see my mom's handwritten notes, or some, I have some cards that were my grandmother's. And it'll say, made this, but used peaches, or, you know, use a bigger pan, or turn it up to 350, or something like that. I like recipes. I like recipes because you put this in, you get this out. How many of you like formulas? You know, 2 + 2 = 4. I don't, my grandchildren, I can't help them with their math. He's fourth grader, you know, or the sixth graders. I'm like, ah, wait till your mom gets home. She's a school teacher. But I like formulas, and I like to put certain things in and get certain things out. I have a friend who's an amazing cook, Brenda, and I mean, everything she makes is just out of this world. So we ask her for her recipes, and she's so generous to give them to us, and it never tastes the way it tastes. You're the same way, Gina. And I accuse my sisters of leaving something out. There is some, you know, a half a teaspoon of something that makes it really good. No, maybe it's just the way they put it together. Let me give you a definition of formula. A formula is a recipe. It's a general fact. It's a rule. It's a principle. It's the way things are always going to work. And like this, it's a customary method allowing little room for originality. So they're comfortable, but they don't leave much room for originality. Rules are described as a prescribed guide for conduct or action. Now, principles have respect to fundamentals. So a principle is underlying, but a recipe is a half a teaspoon of this and a cup of that, and if you don't do it right, it doesn't turn out. And I think as people, we have this, I know I do, I like rules. I like to know I put this in, this is going to get out. I think that's part of our human nature because I think it implies control. If I do this, I get this. If I put my card into the ATM and push the right buttons, I get $20 out. And we like that. However, the kingdom of God does not work that way. Okay? There are principles. There are underlying principles, the way things work. But really, no formulas. Now, in the Old Testament, I will agree, there were rules. How far you could walk, what you could eat, how you wash things. But that was Old Testament. In the New Testament, what God is doing is he's wanting relationship. If they had observed the laws with the right heart, it would have drawn them to relationship. But they got hung up on the rules. It'd be like making a cake and you're just hung up on what you put in and you forget about the fact that I'm going to get a cake out of this. And the Pharisees really had it down well, didn't they? Oh my goodness. They took the laws and then they would take them on and on and on beyond what God had prescribed. They're like 613 Old Testament laws that God gave them, but the Pharisees twisted it into thousands, and Jesus loved to mess with them about their laws. But you don't have to think when you have that list. Just take it to the grocery store and get this and this and this, and then I'm going to get this. God wants us to have relationship, and relationship requires us to think. It requires us to be original. It requires us to be flexible. It requires us to open up. I love this morning we were singing about, I think one of the songs had the word permission in it. And then the brother came up and talked about opening the door. And that was just already on my heart because we sing that so often. Things like, oh God, I give you permission, do this, do this. And I'm thinking, are you really thinking about what you're saying? And I have endeavored to become very intentional in the words I sing in worship songs. To think about, what am I saying? Oh God, I give it all to you. Really? Oh God, do whatever you want to do. Really? Come in. Really? When you walk in the room, everything changes, does it? Do I perceive that? So you have to think about those words that you're using. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, interesting enough, three places in three Gospels, we have the account of the man with the withered hand. I'm just going to read it to you out of Luke. This was Jesus messing with their recipes. Luke 6. It's in here. I read it. Okay. So on a Sabbath day, he goes into the synagogue. The man with the withered hand was there. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. This is Luke 6. I'm starting at verse 6. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Man, can you imagine if we had Jesus in here? Well, we do, but, you know, if he was here physically and all we could think about was, I wonder if he's going to mess up. I wonder if she's going to mess up. I wonder if Pastor Joe's going to say something that's not really scriptural. You know, it's easy to point fingers at the Pharisees, but I've been a Pharisee looking for a place to accuse, a place where, oh, they messed up, to pull them down to my level. So they're in the presence of God in the flesh, and all they can think about is, think he'll mess up? What can we get him with? So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Oh, my goodness. Heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, come over here, and he came over. And so then Jesus said, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and the hand was completely restored. But they were furious because he messed with their recipe. And they began to discuss with one another what they might do to kill him. The real question was, Jesus was asking the real question, do you want to live by law or do you want to live by relationship? How far can you walk? And he has other stories. One time he talks to them about if a man's donkey falls in the ditch, it'd be okay to pull the donkey out on the Sabbath, but you can't help a person because they had their recipes. They had their comfort zone. And if we are not aware, we can fall into that. So when Teresa contacted me about speaking this morning, immediately a phrase came in my head, and I'm not totally sure where it came from. I think it's a song, a title of a song. I actually Googled it. I encourage you not to, because the response I got had some vulgarities in it, but I still like the title. So we're going to call this Too Much, Too Soon, Too Little, Too Late. Too much, too soon, too little, too late. And as I've been reading through the Gospels, I've just been in Luke for weeks now, seeing over and over how a situation could be too much, or it could be too little, or it could be too soon, or it could be too late. And every situation that you're facing falls into one of those categories. So let me give you some examples of too soon, too late. And you're going to go, oh, well, of course, obvious. But I think if you grasp this, you're going to start reading the Gospels a little differently. So what was too soon? Well, how about the Virgin Mary? It was too soon for her to be pregnant. She wasn't married and she was a virgin. Too soon. But we go over here and we have Abraham and Sarah. It was too late. We have Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist. It was too late. Did either of those situations bother God or stop God? Oh, God, you're late. You're late. The bill's due. You're late. You're late. He's never late. Oh, God, it's too soon. And I'm going to share in a minute what my example of too soon is. And some of you young moms are going to go, yep, got that one. Got that one. In Exodus 18, Moses is ministering to the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt, and he's all day long. He's, you know, yes, that's your donkey. No, that's her donkey. Yeah, your husband did you wrong. I mean, he's just dealing with stuff all day long. And his father-in-law, Jethro, says, Moses, it's not good for you to just have to deal with all of this. It's too much. He uses that phrase. It's too much for you. And sometimes we take on too much. Or sometimes life just gives us too much. Illness in a family, relationships, it's just too much. Have you ever felt that? It's just, and that's all you can say is, God, it's just too much. But God's in the too much, because he had a promise. He had a solution for Moses. And then sometimes we're in the too little. The easiest example in Scripture is the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, what are we going to feed them? We don't have anything. We've got 5 loaves and we've got 5,000 men plus women and children. Too little. Did that bother Jesus? What you have in your hand, if you give it to him, is enough. We could talk finances. We could talk health. We could talk relationship. We could talk forgiveness. Lord, I want to forgive. I'm trying. I really want to forgive. Give him that. It's not too little. The widow who just had the 1 penny, Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. It wasn't too little. It was all she had. How about too soon? Let's talk about another couple of too soons. Jeremiah. When the Lord called Jeremiah, he said, "Oh, Lord, no." This is Jeremiah 1:6. "I'm just a child. I can't speak. Don't ask me to do that, Lord. I'm not ready. It's too soon, Lord." Was it? And I challenge you, this will come up often when the Lord asks you to step out and do something. He'll say, "You know what? You need to be on the prayer team. You need to go talk to your next door neighbor. I'm not ready, Lord. I need to fast and pray more. I haven't been to Bible school. I couldn't teach a Sunday school class. It's too soon." Students, I challenge you, because, man, we love to stretch you all. Dan especially. He has stretched me to my elastic, won't even bounce back. Let me tell you. But that's part of your training, and that's part of what God does. He get out of the boat. Go. It's not too soon. So when we say, "All right, we're going to go to Lebanon, and we're going to walk the streets, and we're going to pray, and we're going to encounter people, and we're going to do these things," you go, "It's too soon. I'm only, only been in Bible school 8 months. It's not too soon. It's not too soon. And when we release you and say, "All right, now go and do it. Go do a treasure hunt at Walmart." Ask the Lord to highlight somebody in Walmart that you, I'm not ready yet. Have Teresa do that. Have Alice do that. You've got a mission trip coming up. I love to take people on mission trips. And some of you, God may be tugging at your heart and you're going, but I've never done a mission trip and I don't know if I could do a mission trip and I don't think I'm ready. Is it too soon for you? It's not too soon. It's not too soon. In the New Testament, even, we have Timothy. And Paul spoke to Timothy and said, "Don't let them despise your youth." He said, "Timothy, you're not too young for what I've called you to." And when God has called you, it's never too much, too soon, too little, or too late. A couple of too littles that I really like. How about Gideon? Let me turn to Judges 6:15. Judges 6:15. You know, the Israelites, and you always have to read that first verse of chapter 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. They were reaping what they had sown. Wasn't God just punishing them? They had stepped out beneath the umbrella of his protection and blessing. But God is never too late. So he comes to Gideon, and the angel of the Lord, and speaks to him and says, "The Lord's with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon starts questioning him and calls him and says, "I'll be with you." And Gideon says, "I am the least of the least. But Lord, how can I save Israel?" It's verse 15. My clan is the least, is the weakest, and I'm the least of the weakest. That's too little. I mean, we're the weakest, and I'm the least of the weakest. I mean, that's pretty far down the totem pole. That's what Gideon saw. But what did the Lord see? He called him, "I will be with you. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." In every one of these situations, there is the promise of God that turns it around. Mary, too soon. Blessed are you, Mary. The Lord is with you. You found favor with God. Her response, okay. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Ha, I love Zechariah. He's in there. You all are party, you know, familiar with the story. Scripture describes them as respectful observers of the law. There's no flaw in them. It isn't any kind of punishment. They're really pleasing the Lord, but they've never had a child, which is considered a great shame in that culture. And Zechariah is chosen to go in and minister and burn the incense in the Holy of Holies. And the angel appears to him and says, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Now think about that. What prayer? Is Zechariah still praying for a child? I mean, if he's 75, 80, we don't know how old, but old. Do you think he's still praying? Oh, yeah, this morning I was just confessing that we're going to have a child. No, he wasn't. And I doubt if Elizabeth was. It's like, this is gone. It's too late. But guess what? It wasn't too late. So what was that prayer? When you pray, it's out there. He had prayed. They had prayed. I am sure they had prayed for a child. But maybe 40 years ago. But his prayers have been heard. God is not too late. If you prayed something 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, it's not too late. Now, for all you ladies that are my age and older, I'm, you know, probably not going to have a baby, but we'll rejoice with you if you do. So the answer may not look like what you think it's going to look like. And every time in these situations, when there was an answer, it looked different than they expected because they were expecting an apple pie that looked just like this, because they had a recipe. But God was saying, nope, I'm going to mess with your recipe. And I'm not going to be too little, too late. Who ever thought 5 loaves and 2 fishes could feed 15,000 people with leftovers? That would be a rule, a recipe that just didn't work. But what's the principle underneath it? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we have Gideon, I'm too little. David, I loved what you said about David running towards Goliath. I've been chewing on that lately, you know. You have to go towards it. The problem with the armies of Israel was they were standing back. Nobody would take that step of faith. But David, young, when the prophet went to his dad and said, bring your sons out, we're going to anoint the next king, they didn't even bring David. He was too inconsequential. He was too little. He was too overlooked. And they just left him out in the field. And Samuel says, isn't there another one? There's another one. Bring this one in. Bring this one in. Here's my favorite, too late. Lazarus. I mean, you talk about late, 4 days late. He not only dead, he stinks. Decomposition has set in. So it wasn't just raising from the dead, but it was a miracle because God had to put him back together. And Martha and Mary, like, Jesus, if you'd been here. I mean, I don't think that was ugly on their part. Sometimes we think, oh, yeah, they should have known, like, Martha, Martha. No, they're just like, Jesus, we know you could have done this, but you're late. And Jesus said, just believe. You know, he messed up every funeral he went to. You think about it. The widow's son, Jairus' daughter, he was never too late. He was always on time. So let's take this a little bit farther. Can it be too close or too far? I think about the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8, and she says to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, and she presses up through the crowd. Now, this was violating the law. When you had an issue of blood, you were to be outside the camp. You were not to go around other people. She was unclean. But she said, if I can just get close enough to touch. But who's the one that was too far away? How about the centurion's servant? It was dying, and they come to get Jesus, and Jesus doesn't show up on time, Luke 7. He wasn't far away. He says he was not far away. He started, but they're going, oh, he's dead. And Jesus goes, no, he's not. Jairus' daughter, oh, you know, it's too late. No, it's not. God is never late. It's never too late. The lepers, speaking of being unclean, the lepers, if a leper touched you, you became unclean. Huh. But if Jesus touched a leper, the leper became clean. We flipped that recipe, didn't we? That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. That's what the kingdom of God is. Love conquers. Kingdom is greater. Light is greater than darkness. The leprosy will no longer affect me. I'll affect leprosy. And as you grasp this and you go out into your community and into your world, it's not going to change you. You're going to change it. When you get that mindset, God's not too little, it's not too much, it's not too late, it's not too far, it's not too soon. I'm going to go out and I'm going to change my world because I'm short, but I'm not too little, right? There you go. And I'm old, but I'm not too late. And some of you are young, but Shaylee, you're not too soon. And you're not too much. Maybe you're one of those kids that you grew up. I've got a brother-in-law like this. I love him. But he's just like, when he walks in the room, he fills the room. You know, big guy, big voice, big laugh, just whoa. You know, he's like, he's too much. And sometimes I just want to say, Joe, his name is Joe. Joe, just settle down. It's just too much. But he's not too much. That's what God's made. And then we have students that are just quiet and sweet and kind of sit back on the one to third row. And you know what? They're not too little. They are powerhouses. We had a word over Bethany up here a while ago when Teresa and I got to pray for her, how she is a powerhouse, the kingdom of God. Listen, it may look like this is restricting her. There are no restrictions on her spirit. Her spirit is as strong as mine or Pastor Joe's or Dan's or Bill Johnson or fill in the blank. So don't judge by that. She's not too little, it's not too soon, and it's definitely not too late for Bethany. Amen. Amen. Let me read this. 1 Samuel. Camera. This is, I want to read this in the Message translation. 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan is talking to his armor bearer. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on now, let's go across to these uncircumcised pagans. Again, that's what David said about Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The importance of that is saying, I'm in covenant and they're not. They don't have authority here. They're trespassing. I have a covenant with God. They don't. Remind yourself of that. Let's go over. Maybe God will work for us. Now listen to this. There's no rule that says God can only deliver by using a big army. No one can stop God from saving when he sets his mind to it. No one can set God from saving when he sets his mind to it. God has set his mind to save you. Wherever you're struggling, whatever the relationship, whatever the need, God has set his mind to save us. So my question to you, you know, Jesus was figuring out with the Pharisees, you know, where's your real value here? Is it the law or is it the principle? Is it by the book or is it kingdom? So let me ask you that question. Is your problem too big? Is your problem too much? Is it too soon? And for many of us, we struggle with, it's too late. It's too late. God, you promised me that. I know I heard from you, but it's too late. I'm not ready. It's too soon. It's too late. In Numbers 13, the children of Israel are getting ready to take the land. And they say, we are well able. We are well able. Let me turn to this. Numbers 13. Joshua and Caleb bring back the report. Now, I think sometimes the other spies, I've kind of read it with a different slant this time, because Moses tells them to go and get information. He says in Numbers 13, go see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. He's saying, go give me a report. Go tell me, are they strong? Are they weak? How many are there? Are their cities walled or unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? So he's asking for information. And they come back with information. And the first part of their information's okay. I mean, they're just answering him. Well, they gave Moses this account. The land which you sent us to, it flows with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. He asked them, how are the people weak or strong? And the cities are fortified. He asked them, are they walled or unwalled? The cities are fortified and very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites living in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, da-da-da-da-da. But then Caleb says, now, wait a minute. Okay, that's the information. But here's the interpretation. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. What are you going to do with the information? When it's too much, too soon, too little, too late, what are you going to do with that information? And Caleb said, we can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't. That was their interpretation, because they weren't remembering the promise of God, the God who brought them out of Egypt, the God who killed the firstborn of Egypt, the God who took them through the Red Sea, the God who brought water out of a rock, the God who fed them with manna and quail. They're like, oh no. Too little, too late. It's too big. They're too big. They're too much. We can't do this. Verse 33, we saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. How do they know what they look like to them? They were projecting their view of themselves onto their enemies and saying, man, when they look at us, we just look like grasshoppers. Was that true? No, because when they went into Jericho, they said, Rahab said, oh, we've been waiting for you. Everybody's been afraid because we heard about your God and what he did in Egypt, and we've just been trembling in our boots waiting for you to come. That was the report. But according to, on in chapter 14, the people of the community, because of this report, of this interpretation, they wept, they raised their voices, and they wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, oh, you know, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Their interpretation. So if you drop down to verse 9, Moses and Aaron are interceding for him and said, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. Only do not rebel against the Lord. When you have a promise from God, and you look at circumstances, and you say the circumstances are bigger than God, you know what you're doing? You're rebelling. Now that's a strong word, but right there, they had the promise from God. And it says they grumbled and they rebelled against God in their grumbling. We have promises. It's not too much. It's not too soon. It's not too little. It's not too late. We have the promises of God. And if we don't step into them, we're going to miss some stuff. And not just us, the world around us, because we are called to change the world, to influence culture. I want to close with one verse, a little story about myself. And then I'm going to have the first-year team come up. Prayer. Yeah, you can stand up. So here's my story. Many years ago, my husband and I had a word from the Lord to go to Bible school. We were living in Springfield. We'd met in college. We had a two-year-old. We were like a lot of young newlyweds. We'd bought a house, but we were kind of paycheck to paycheck. No, but we knew, we had a clear word that we were to move to Oklahoma and go to Raymond Bible Training Center, if any of you are familiar with that. And but we didn't know how we were going to do this financially. There was just, it was impossible. So one day I'm sitting and reading my Bible, and I want to read it to you out of here, because there's such a principle in this. Oh, Jesus, I just smile every time I think, Lord, you're so good. You are so good. So, one of my favorite verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I'd read it many times, and I was sitting with the Lord one day saying, Lord, I know we're going to do this. I'm not sure how you're going to do this. I mean, I was just being honest with him. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, God, that's so good. How are you going to help us? What are we going to do? What are you going to do? How are we going to do it? Just, I was struggling. And the Lord said, turn the page. Now, this is before Bible on phone, okay? It was paper. And the Lord said, turn the page. I went, what? Turn the page. I'm reading my Bible. Turn the page. The rest of the verse, 5:24, was on the next page. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. But I hadn't turned the page. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So this morning, I'm going to invite you, if there is a situation in your life that's too much, it's too soon, it's too little, it's too late, I'm going to invite you to come up and let these students pray with you. And as you come, I'll tell you, I think one of the easiest ones to see that puts all four of them together are moms of young kids. You know, it's like, ah, it's just too much, the diapers and the whatever, it's too much, but there's too little sleep, but it's, you know, too soon, it's morning comes too soon, I had to stay up too late. You just kind of get it wrapped all up. And I felt like, driving up this morning, that I had a sense that there was a mom here. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself, but there was a mom here who's at that place. It's like, it's just too soon. I can't deal with all of this. Maybe you've got two babies and another one on the way, or you've got, you know, my daughter-in-law, they had 4 and 3 years. That was too soon, but it worked out. You know, they had a pair of twins in there. I felt like there was a young mom here who's just overwhelmed with, it's just too much, it's too soon, it's too little, it's too late, I can't do this. Yes, you can, because faithful is he who calls you, who also will perform it. Do not rebel and reject the promise of God. He's good. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're never late. You're an on-time God. I thank you, God, that you don't work on my calendar or my clock, because you'd get lost with daylight savings time. Oh, God, we love you so much. You stand and knock, and we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We fling wide the doors of our heart and say, come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. We give you permission. We give you permission. We say yes to you, Lord. And so those situations right now that have seemed that they were too much, too little, too soon, or too late. Healing for a relationship. Here's one for you. Someone here has lost a loved one to death. And you're thinking, well, it's too late now. How can my heart be healed? How can you fix that, God? I just know he can. He can bring healing to your heart. It's not too late. It's not too late for him to bring healing to your heart. There's someone you need to forgive, and it's just too much. You don't know what they did to me. I don't, and I'm sorry. But forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. It's not too much to forgive. There is forgiveness. There is healing at the cross for you. But it's too little. I can't. It's not your resources. It's his. Give him your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he will do it. So we're going to invite you to come and receive prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, again, you have done more than we could ever ask or think or conceive. Lord, again, oh God, you have touched us. Again, oh God, you have been transforming us. Again, oh God, you have set us free. Lord, again, oh God, you have built us up. You have edified us. Lord, again, you have refreshed us with your presence. And so, Lord, as we leave here, God, we thank you, God, for what you have done and what you are continuing to do in us as we leave. And Father, I pray, oh God, as we interact with people, that they might sense your presence upon us. That the things that we would say and do might draw attention to who Jesus Christ really is. And so, Lord, again, we give you thanks. Again, oh God, we give you all the glory that's due to your name. Lord, we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen.